Hello and welcome to another episode of Nosebleeds, a WFUV sports production. I am Barrett Spreitzer, joined with Max Spitzer on the other side, and today it's just the two of us taking you through what's going on around the MLB. Pretty packed episode today, but before we get into that, let's hear how Mr. Max Spitzer's doing.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, the Brewers just dropped a tight one to the Rockies, so not super excited about that. But besides that, great week. Love talking about baseball, so excited to get into it.
Yep. And on that note, what we got for you today is we're gonna give you the traditional Yankees and Mets rundown, but also now that we've reached officially the halfway point for every team has played at least 81 games this week. We're gonna give you a little bit of our thoughts on what every division's how that's shaping up to be going into the trade deadline, and then we'll close it out with as we approach the All-Star break in about a little less than a month here now. We'll give you our basically halfway point All-Stars to close it out, but to start out the show, we're going to talk a little bit of Yankees. They've been kind of a polarizing team, 6-4 in their last 10, but with such a hot start, they've kind of dropped some games to the AL lead, I guess you would say, to the Tigers. They're still obviously far and away the best team in the AL East, at least talent-wise, but the Rays are definitely trying to put up a fight. Max, what do you see with the Yankees right now?
Yeah, like you just said, the Rays are putting up a great fight, though. I do think that the Yankees, 6-10, not so bad, especially with the start they're having. I think Judge is having another great season. Already 30 home runs so far through 81 games, so that's pretty impressive, especially after a 58 home run season last year. More specifically, I really like Max Fried and what he's been doing for the team. I think the pitching staff, while year after year has been a big argument between Yankees fans, and kind of like, are they good this year? Do they choke too often? I think the pitching staff is doing much better this year. Obviously, you can never get too many good pitchers. And we'll talk about that in a little bit regarding trades and who they may be looking to target, possibly to strengthen that rotation or bullpen. But besides that, I think the Yankees are actually doing much better than I mean, I expected them to be top, obviously, of the NL East or AL East, but I think they're doing pretty good right now, and going up into the All-Star break, I think they're looking at a multi-game lead above the Rays.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing with the Yankees is going to be figuring out kind of, I guess, figuring out that fourth infield spot, obviously, because you got Volpe, you've got Goldschmidt, you got Jazz. It's just kind of depends on where Jazz is going to play. There's a lot of talk of going out and getting a third baseman because that fourth infield spot has been a real hole for the Yankees this year because between DJ LeMahieu, Oswald Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera, and anyone else they trot out there, that fourth infield spot has been a big issue. And so obviously there's, talks of going out and getting a fourth infielder, and that's probably the biggest hole. But I think, honestly, the biggest issue is going to be the consistency of the outfield, because obviously Trent Grisham's had a great start to the season, but historically he's been a pretty terrible hitter. Cody Bellinger is very inconsistent, obviously, and we've seen that throughout the season and throughout the last couple of years for Cody Bellinger, but he's had a decent start, and so hopefully he can sustain that. And then, just Jason Dominguez is kind of a liability in the field, and he's been much better of late at the plate, but he obviously started out very poorly. So I think outside of the glaring need for another infielder, you definitely wouldn't pass up some outfield help at the deadline. But I think the biggest thing for this Yankees team is going to be consistency. Outside of Max Fried and outside of Carlos Rodon, they've gotten some really good appearances from the starting staff. But, you got to hope you can really lean on those guys for the remainder of the season. And I'm personally not sure how much you can really do that on guys like, a Ryan Yarbrough or a Cookie Carrasco. Marcus Stroman obviously has had a very rough couple of outings since he's come back into the season. I mean, four starts, 14 innings, not ideal. But, you know, what you've gotten from Will Warren and Clark Schmidt, you really like. It's just who is that fifth starter going to be? Who's the guy you can trot out there every fifth day and, you know, hope you can win at least 50% of those games? I'm not sure I know who it is, and I think that's probably what's going to hold them back from being competitive up there at the top of the AL, especially when you have a division that's really rallying. You know, started kind of slow, but between the Blue Jays, who are really picking it up, the Rays, who are, you know, completely overperforming, and a Red Sox team that you're not really sure what you're going to get, but they definitely have the ability to go out there on any given day and win. It's going to be tough for this Yankees team to perform the way they have been. But outside
Yeah,
of
no.
that, I don't know. What do you see from the AL East that's going to really
I
give
mean,
good
go.
things
I
to the
mean, even
Nationals?
just going quickly back to like the Yankees, like Paul Goldschmidt has definitely been a surprise, for a lot of people. Very, you know, he's getting near the end of his career, and you're kind of having those a little bit of a flashback to back when he was in Arizona doing what he was doing there. And it's funny that you're. It seems like the Yankees are really needing that middle infielder, needing that extra infielder, and it's they traded away their top infield prospect of Caleb Durbin for Devin Williams in the offseason, and Durbin has been having a pretty solid season over Milwaukee. And while of course Devin Williams has started to strengthen up, especially, I mean, he really did not start the season great, but he has come back. I think the Yankees are going to be looking, you know, for a possible starting pitcher. And even I was actually at a D-backs game yesterday, and they, even the security guards were like, we need to just trade away either Zach Gallen or someone like that who we can get some prospects for. And I think teams like the Yankees should be actually eyeing teams like the D-backs, who are in a division where they are no longer, yeah, D-backs went to the World Series, right? Had a great season that year. But now they have the Dodgers, who are looking unbeatable in that division, as well as the Giants and the Padres. So when we talk about the NL East as a whole, though, or AL East as a whole, though, I mean, one team that has surprised me is the Blue Jays. I don't think anyone expected them to be in third and the Orioles in last. I definitely think they thought it was going to be another battle between the Yankees and the Orioles. For all the New York fans out there, the Red Sox are Red Soxing, and they aren't doing great. But yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees will have this in the bag. It's just now about who can you get in the trade deadline that not only gets you over the hill, but also sets you up really nice to have a nice rotation in the playoffs, which was a big issue last year in their playoff run, postseason run, was that pitching rotation. And it was a question of like, all right, who's actually going to step up and take that final spot in the rotation? So, Yankees wise, I think they're fine in the AL East. I think it's going to be a battle for the rest of them to try and find that wild card spot. I'm hoping that the Red Sox and the Orioles kind of start to come back more in a sense of making it a competitive year in that division. But yeah, I mean, basically the Yankees are going to top that, especially if they fill out that rotational spot. I'm thinking Zach Allen. I think they go for him, or even another top pitcher out of the NL.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest target the Yankees probably would have would be Eugenio Suarez. You can move Jazz back over to second base, and you get a nice power bat in there, in Eugenio Suarez. But as for the rest of the AL East, I think the Yankees' biggest challenge is going to be competing within the AL East, right? They're 10-12 with a losing record within their own division, with a lot of games left to go in against division opponents. Which could be a concern. Another big concern is kind of indicative of the back end of that bullpen, which obviously started out very shaky with Devin Williams. And then, you know, Luke Weaver kind of saved it, but then he went down. And so they've really struggled in extra inning games, 1-6, and they're 12-16 in one run games. And that's not indicative of a playoff team, is, you know, losing lots of one run games. So that's going to be probably the biggest thing that I would like to watch out for the Yankees, especially considering, you know, a surging Tampa team, a Blue Jays team that's doing their best to stick in there, and then a Red Sox team where we're not really sure what's going on with them, but a very tough AL East that's going to give this Yankees team a lot of fits, I think, going down the stretch here. But they're, I think, still you can pretty easily, pretty confidently say they're squarely the top team in that division, regardless of record. Obviously, the record shows that, but I think talent-wise, experience-wise, obviously, and any team with Aaron Judge is going to be seen as the best team in that division. But moving on from the Bronx, we're going over to Queens now, and the Mets, who are also kind of in that same boat of not really sure what's going on with them, right? They've been, I think, kind of the epitome of streaky, like 3-7 in their last 10. They are only 1.5 back in the division. And, the Phillies getting swept to the Astros just earlier this week is a big help to that. But they've lost 3 in a row. They're 3-7 in their last 10, and they've been terrible on the road. 19-25 on the road. It almost feels like, sure, the record looks nice, but it almost feels like they may have lost
It's almost like
something, the Mets, from last
they're
year.
repeating what they did last year, where it's like they went on these little streaks of good and then a streak of really bad. And I feel like when they picked up someone like Juan Soto, it was trying to fix that streakiness, and they're still kind of in that. It's kind of almost like it's their culture at this point of just being like, hey, we're gonna get hot. And when we get hot, we're gonna win a lot of games, but we're also gonna cool off like at least a couple times a year. And we're gonna cool off almost to ice. So I agree though. I mean, I think that's their biggest thing is they are streaky. They haven't been able for the last couple of years to put together a great 2 months. You know what I mean? They've put together a great couple weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even a month, but not a multiple month run of just being a good ball club that is just running on full cylinders and just dominating its competition.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, outside of the big three and then Nimmo and Jeff McNeil, is you're not getting a whole lot of offensive production. And when you're not getting a whole lot of offensive production, you only really have two starting pitchers. It's going to be a real challenge to put together, sustained winning streaks. And, outside of Clay Holmes and David Peterson, you don't have a whole lot of trust, especially, you had Griffin Canning, who was pitching so well, and then he just tore his Achilles earlier in the week. When you were really trotting out a three-man starting rotation, then trying to figure it out from there, but now you're down to two, and it's going to be difficult to put together sustained winning streaks, especially in a division that's been as challenging as the NL East has been. Obviously, kind of a down year outside of the Phillies, but you've got a Washington Nationals team that is young, and they've got some talent, so they can win on any given night. You've got the Braves, who are always gonna, be there to compete, and obviously a great Phillies team. It's a division where if you want to succeed in it, you have to put together, sustained, long streaks where you are a great looking team. And I just don't see how, with the kind of four player hole at the bottom of that lineup and just the lack of starting pitching, that this Mets team is going to do much, not even just in the playoffs, but in the back half of the season. Like I could see a skid coming quite easily in seeing this Mets team, and we're into late August, and we're looking at a team that's 5, 6, 7 games under 500, just because we're not really sure. When you look at that starting rotation, you're not sure where the wins are going to come from, and I think that's going to be the Mets' biggest issue is trying to piece together a starting rotation.
Yeah, and it's also they're gonna have to, like you were talking about, skid possibly coming. I mean, they do face the Brewers in this next series that they're having. That's gonna be Mizorowski, it's gonna be Freddy Peralta. So they're gonna have to really rely on these pitchers even in this next series and coming up, right? Because it's like you're probably not scoring too many runs as an offense against two guys like that. And just like the Yankees, I think they're in a position that they need to go out and find someone. But Then again, it's who are they willing to give up to, get that third starter. And right now, they're in a position that they don't have the necessarily all the money to be able to go out and get a starter long term. So it is very much a trade to win this year, just like it was last year for them. But it's difficult just because, I mean, it's just them and the Phillies right now, right? Like, Braves might go on a run at some point. Nationals, they're, like you said, very young, exciting team to watch if you catch them on a good day. Marlins are the Marlins. I mean, same thing, young team, exciting to watch if you catch them on the right day. But it's really between the Mets and the Phillies, and it's can they find that starter or can someone step up so they can actually, like, instead of being stuck in that wild card and having to fight all the way through that, can they actually win this division and actually show that, oh, Juan Soto, that wasn't just like us get him for, like, that means something now that you got Juan Soto if you come back after being a wild card team and win the division against a team like the Phillies. So I think it's very difficult just because they do need to go out and get someone, I think. It's just now it's who are they going to give up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's do you give up someone right now who's currently on your team, or do you give up a little bit of your future for a possibility of having a great starter who from a team that's looking to trade and looking to sell?
Yeah, I think the biggest bonus that the Mets have right now is obviously with the payroll and with the way they've been in recent years. Obviously, the Mets fans and honestly, probably the front office doesn't want to be sellers at the deadline. And with the way that they are right now, they won't be. They'll definitely be buyers. But a lot can change in the next month, as I was saying. And so it almost feels like they need to go out and make a move soon if they want to be in the position to be buyers at the deadline. Because again, they have four starters on the IL, and it's rough going right now. But I think one benefit is you do know is Juan Soto has been incredible. Since that slow start, and you have five guys in the lineup every day who are going to show up and are going to be great at the top of that order. You just have to hope, got, the veteran presences of Starling Marte can show up, or a guy like Mark Vientos can kind of recapture what he had last season. Like, there are definitely the pieces on this Mets team to make you feel confident that they're going to be able to put it together and be able to stay atop that NL East. But again, that 3-7 in the last 10, and then the kind of, periods of sustained inconsistency that we've seen dating back to last season, that almost feels like this era of Mets baseball, it's in their DNA. It's kind of been in the DNA of Mets baseball, since the start of Mets baseball. The Mets are gonna Met, as the saying goes. But it feels like if any year is gonna be the year where they can take the top of the NL East and really make it their own, it's gonna be this year, especially with those the Braves, Nationals, and Marlins haven't been great to start the season, and then the Phillies are kind of suffering from that same illness that the Mets are, and that they're super inconsistent. They've been hammered by the injury bug, and it feels like these two teams are in the same spot. It just so happens that the Phillies were as hot can be for the last like 2 weeks going into that Astros series, and the Mets have been kind of the opposite of that. But with all that said, I feel like there are some positives to feel as a Mets fan. You just have to hope that it comes together and that they can kind of piece some things together for the next, couple weeks, and hope that some of those pitching injuries can settle down.
Yeah, and it's like you were saying too, if they are gonna go out and be buyers, it might be smart to do that early instead of waiting and letting these people get picked up by bigger teams with better prospect pools and so you know what I mean? Like, it might be smarter to go out and do that now instead of waiting up into the deadline when you start seeing those top pitchers up for sale kind of drop off the board. I mean, I think they still think they have it, you know what I mean? Like, that's what definitely the players still think they can win with the team that they have now. But now it's like, does the front office, they're kind of making a decision here. It's do they got to decide if they're going to be buyers, and if they are, they need to to be serious about it and really consider losing some people that may have been there for a while, but it's time for them to go for the betterment of the organization as a whole. So that's kind of all I really have about the Mets, really. It's just I think they need to get out there and buy, just like the Yankees need to get out there and buy and get that pitcher that really solidifies their rotation.
Yeah, so I mean, outside the Mets, what do you see in the NL East? Do you see the Braves maybe putting it together and coming back, or you see the
I do
Phillies running
see I
away
see the
with it?
Braves I see the Braves coming back and fighting for a wild card spot. I think like you said, the Phillies dealing with the same stuff that the Mets are. But like it has been for the last however many years, right? It is those three teams battling it out on the top. Obviously, Braves are a little bit further back, but we've seen crazier things happen in the past. More specific, even with the Nationals that one year where they were performing just like they were this year and ended up coming back and winning the World Series. So anything's possible, especially in this division where it's a very young division. I think that the Braves have an opportunity, but it really is just going to be between the Phillies and the Mets.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I honestly don't know how much I see out of the Braves. It feels like this just may not be their year, you know? Like it feels like just things aren't going that way. I think this is going to be one of the more interesting divisions in baseball because obviously there's, I mean, this division has some of the most talent of any division in baseball based purely off of, you know, star power and the names. Like every team in this division has someone where the fans can go every night and be like, I'm showing up for this guy, right? Like even the Marlins, they have Sandy Alcantara, who hasn't been the greatest over the last couple of years, but he's still, you know, he's a Cy Young winner. He's got that name power. The Nationals, you know, you got CJ Abrams, James Wood, and you know, that whole, yeah, exactly. Like there's names on these teams and it's the star power is there. So obviously there's always a desire to tune into these games on the NL East, but it's a bit of an interesting division to watch because obviously, I mean, outside of the division, the top two teams in the NL East are not doing great. Although what I will say is they have beat up on the lesser teams in the NL in the NL West. They've capitalized off of some games against the Rockies, which is boosting, you know. The Mets and the Phillies are 26 and 10 against the NL West, and you know, a lot of those games have been against the Rockies. So we may be looking at a little bit of some inflated win totals here. But they are both pushing 50 wins, which is a big accomplishment, you know, 80 games through the season. I just for both of these teams, I don't know, I think the winner of the NL East is going to be sitting around like somewhere around 86 games, 87 games. Because I just don't see the consistency in this division. I think it'll be a very fun one to watch play out because I do think there's going to be, you know, about a game in it all the way to the end of the season. So, you know, it'll be a fun division race. I don't know if it'll necessarily be a good division race in that, you know, good baseball kind of sense. But moving on from, you know, the New York teams, we'll move in a little bit. We'll start with the AL Central, who has just been dominated by the Tigers. The Tigers are the best team in baseball, probably outside of the Dodgers. But there's, you know, there's definitely a claim that the Tigers are the best team in baseball. They've been playing incredible. But there's, you know, there's always the threat of the Guardians, who could maybe put something together and make a run at things. Anything is possible when you have Jose Ramirez. What do you see in the AL Central, Max?
I'm really impressed with the Tigers. I thought last year was a great little run that they went on. And I think it so far they're kind of just proving their right to be at the top of that division. They sat at the bottom for a couple years and watched teams like the Guardians and the Twins battle it out. And I think it's great to see them up there. I would say my biggest disappointment though would be the Royals. You know, I had really high hopes for them coming into the year and just haven't seen it at all. And I don't even think they're necessarily doing anything wrong. You know, like I feel like Bobby Witt's having a solid season. I think Salvador is having a solid season. And I think it's overall just how baseball works sometimes. You know, I think like I'm trying to remember Their top pitcher, yeah, 2.25 ERA for Bubik, right? Pretty solid ERA for him, right? And I think that if you have someone pitching like that, you shouldn't be at near the bottom of your division, right? You were by many people projected to finish first in your division, and I think the Royals had everything they need to do or need to finish first. They're definitely not sellers. I just think that up until the All-Star break, they need to make a really, really good push to be able to confidently have that argument that we're not sellers, not necessarily buyers. I don't think they need to go out and get something, but I think they need that push, or else, I mean, it's the fans are going to be looking at their management, kind of like, oh, like where do we go wrong if they're still sitting at the bottom of the division by the end of the year?
Yeah, and I think the only thing you really need to look at for the Royals is the fact that they have 39 wins and they've scored less runs than the Rockies. Right? That's
Yeah.
the only stat. They scored less runs than the 19-win Rockies. Right? The worst team in the history of baseball has scored more runs than this Royals team, and they're still flirting with 500. And that's all you really need to see to look at that in that and knowing that, hey, if you go out and get one, it's probably going to take two or three bats, you know, for them to compete. But if you go out and get those bats, this is a Royals team that could be very dangerous. It just they need to do everything they can to be in a position where they can justify going to get those bats. But you know, that's the only really way that I see them competing is they're gonna have to go get two or three bats, and someone else is gonna have to step up outside of Bobby Witt and Michael Garcia, because you know, Vinny P has been okay. Salvador Perez has been honestly kind of terrible, but there's only so much you can expect for, you know, how 30, however old he is, 36 year old
How old
Salvador
is he
Perez,
right
right?
now?
There's only so much you can expect out of him, but I think I would agree with you. The only real, like the Guardians, yes, they could be decent, but the only real contender outside of the Tigers in this AL Central would, in my opinion, be the Royals. But that would take, you know, a couple of pieces. It would definitely take more than just one bat. They'd need two or three bats, I think, to really put it together, and they'd have to be in the position to go out and get those bats, right? Which it's going to take some doing to get to that position. But then going from the AL Central over to the NL Central, one of the more fun divisions in baseball, just you've got, you know, a very fun Cincinnati Reds team who is, you know, electric is probably the best way to describe them, you know, led by Ellie De La Cruz. You've got a Pittsburgh Pirates team who has an incredible pitching staff. Paul, led by Paul Skeens. I mean, that's probably really all you got to say about the Pirates, is they have Paul Skeens.
Yeah,
But then
that's kind of
the
like
other,
Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, but like,
but the other three teams in this division, I mean, 47 wins, 47 wins, and 49, and you know, from first to fourth in this division, you've got 5 games in it. It's definitely a good division, very competitive division. This is your division, Max, so let's hear what you got to say about it.
yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a much closer than it you what it that what it has been in the last couple seasons, right? Usually it's either the Brewers and the Cardinals going at it, or the Brewers and the Cubs, or the Cubs and the Cardinals. Having that Reds team only 5 games out of first base makes it even more interesting. I mean, I've always loved this division. I mean, it's a little biased just because I am a big Brewers fan, but I think this is a great division. Like you see teams of all calibers, right? Using all different, like Reds pretty young, Pirates pretty young, Brewers very young team, right? And they're still only 2 games out and actually have been doing a great push. We also have Miz now, so I'm expecting big things from my personal team just because I think we have someone who is going to battle Paul Skeens for years to come for NL Cy Youngs. But yeah, I think it's a great division. I think it's going to be once again down to the wire. I think the Cubs have definitely made a great comeback, especially under Council, right? He had that really rough first year, fought back near the end of last season, but really was disappointing. And yeah, I mean, I would say if I had five people that I truly look at the NL Central and I say these people are unbelievable, I would say Pico Armstrong, obviously Skeens, Probably Miz in that as well, just because I know he's only thrown 4 or 5 times, but or a little less. He's thrown 3, 4 times, and he only throws about 5 innings each time he pitches. I think he's pretty exciting. And earlier I said De La Cruz, I meant O'Neill Cruz for the Pirates. He's also just incredible. So overall, yeah, I mean, it's an exciting division. You really, with this one, you can't ever be like, especially before the All-Star break, we haven't gotten there yet, but it's not a division you can be like, all right, I see this team is going to win it for sure, right? I think it'll be between the Brewers and the Cubs, but at the same time, the Brewers are a very, very young team who did just drop a game to the Rockies, but it happens, right? Like, so I'm expecting a lot of great things out of this division. I think the Cubs are really starting to come back and kind of show that they're back in that 2016 era where they were really dominating away games and home games. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be hard fought, but hopefully the Brewers come up top, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good summary of that. I think one of the better things to look at is that the Cubs did just lose a series to the Astros. They're 4-6 in the last 10, and the Brewers are 8-2. So they're definitely making that
Yeah,
push. They're
Brewers
two
have
games
definitely
back.
had one heck of a run
Yeah.
in recent weeks.
Two games back as of right now, but with the way things are going, the Brewers have a series against the Mets versus the Cubs playing in Cleveland. You could definitely see that the Brewers could be in possession of first place by the All-Star break. Quite easily, I would say. Would you not agree?
Oh yeah, I think they have I'm trying to think. I think they don't have any major series coming up before the All-Star break. I know when the All-Star break is done, their first series back is the Dodgers, which is definitely a difficult series to come back after that break. But I'm pretty sure they don't have any teams that are necessarily going to dominate them just straight up, you know, like I think I'm trying to see, I'm trying to check that. They play the Mets, and then oh no, so they play the Mets, the Marlins, and then they do play the Dodgers before the All-Star break. So that'll be a big test for them, and that might be an opportunity for the Cubs to kind of, if they're in the lead, extend that lead a little bit.
Put some distance. Yep.
Yeah.
And final NL division here, as you just mentioned them, we'll go to them. The NL West, the Dodgers, it was close. They were fighting with the Giants there for a while. The Giants then made that Devers trade and then kind of fell off. The Dodgers now sitting on a comfy 7-game lead in that division. But, the Padres, 45-38, very good team. The Giants, just a struggling offense, even with the Devers trade. But with the pitches that they have, they do really need that offense to pick it up a little bit, but also sitting at 45 wins. And then you got the Diamondbacks, who always like to play the most exciting baseball known to man. There's always something going on in the Diamondbacks game. And then, the Rockies are fun and interesting to watch for a different reason, in that every night you're going to see the worst team in baseball play. So, it's kind of a race to see if they
It's really
can.
their pitching's actually pretty solid too, which is like very, so when you look at a team like that, you're like, oh, like they must just be all around just not good, right? They can occasionally bring out some people from the bullpen that like even in their rotation, they occasionally bring someone out who has won like an amazing game. The only thing is their offense just like can't score, you know?
Yeah, no, they have not been. They haven't been great, but obviously, it's fun. It's always fun to watch overly terrible teams play. There's something interesting about that. The NL West is the NL West, kind of what you've seen for the last about 10 years, probably. The Dodgers are dominating it. I don't know if there's a whole lot more to say. The Padres and the Giants are going to fight it out. I would expect at least one of these teams to be in the wild card, maybe both of them. But outside of that, I think the NL West is the Dodgers, and if especially if Mookie can turn it on, he's really struggled. He's flirting with dropping below a 700 OPS, but if Mookie can turn it on, even without him, they've been pretty good. They've got some needs here and there, like mostly on the defensive end. They've obviously got Teoscar Hernandez playing right field, which isn't great. But Shohei's back. Maybe he'll pitch it. Maybe he'll go more than one inning eventually. Probably not, you know.
I always find that so interesting that they do that. You
I
know?
mean, he,
Is it
yeah,
because of the
it's.
DH position? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so I mean, he can't come out of the bullpen
Okay.
because he, the DH position. So if he came out of the, if he came in relief and then he came out of relief, he would then lose, they'd lose the DH. So he has to start the game because of how the rule starts. But like, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. Cool, Shohei's back. But they are basically voluntarily throwing a bullpen game every fifth day.
Yeah.
They're winning anyways. Shohei's pitching.
Yeah.
Shohei just threw the hardest
They're
pitch of his
still the
career.
Dodgers.
Yeah, they're still the Dodgers, and Shohei just threw the hardest pitch of his career. So that's pretty awesome. And then, you know, cool, the Dodgers. And then quickly, we'll go on to the AL West. There's not a whole lot to say. The Astros are the best team in the AL West. Astros are the second best team in the AL. They're coming for the Tigers. It doesn't matter. You know, Jeremy Pena is the best player in baseball. Cam Smith is the rookie of the year, and Hunter Brown is better than your favorite pitcher. That's really all there is to say about that. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Max, anything to add there?
No, I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really about it. Jeremy Pena's turned it around this year. He's not only is he a gold glove, platinum glove shortstop, but he's, you know, one of the best bats in the AL. That's incredible to watch. Cam Smith started out very slow. But he's got a 780 OPS now. He did strike out three times today against the Cubs, but that doesn't really matter. Jose Altuve doesn't know what he's doing in left field, doesn't know what he's doing at second base. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He hit a home run today that went about 297 feet. I don't know how it got over the fence. And then even with all the injuries, they're pitching Brandon Walter every fifth day. Do you know who that is? No. Do you know who Ryan Gusto is? No, you don't. They're trotting out Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown and a bunch of nobodies, and they're getting wins. Josh Hader's the best closer in baseball.
You're
He's
welcome.
lights out. Brian Abreu is electric all the time. Bennett Sousa has the grossest slider in baseball that nobody's talking about. And, you know, Stephen Okert, you don't know who that is. Pretty cool guy. You know, it's kind of been the story of this Astros team is they're just they're a lot of injuries, but they're finding ways to win without Yordan Alvarez. And without Jose Altuve playing very well. And that's kind of just who the Astros have been. Yeah, so that'll wrap up our division talk. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about the All-Stars. Alrighty, now it's time to talk some All-Stars. All-Star voting finalists have just been released. Your top vote getter in the AL, Aaron Judge, for, I believe, the fourth straight year. On the same on the NL, it's Shohei Ohtani who has been the top vote getter since he came over to the NL. So I guess actually not the fourth straight year for Aaron Judge either because it was Ohtani his last year in the AL. But we got Ohtani on one side, Judge on the other. Those are the top vote getters. But we'll just run you through who the finalists and then we'll give you our thoughts on who they should be. Maybe a snub at a position or two if that's what we see. But you know, nice and simple. Alrighty. At the finalists for the American League catcher, obviously Cal Raleigh. He's been on another level, probably having the best season for a catcher we've seen in the last 50 years plus. And then he's up against Alejandro Kirk. So Max, we'll make this one quick, make it easy. Who do you got here?
Oh, it's definitely Cal Raleigh. You know,
Okay.
he's, I mean, I like Kirk. I like him, but yeah.
Nice and simple. Cal Raleigh for me as well. Over at first base in the AL, we've got Vlad Guerrero Jr. and we got Paul Goldschmidt. Who do you got, Max?
Vlad, I think he's having a pretty good year this year. Honestly, there's no one that I think stands out in the AL right now at first base.
Yeah, I mean, of these two, I would definitely go Vlad, but I would say I think the most deserving would be Jonathan Aranda, who was. I think honestly, I think he finished fourth in overall voting at first base, but he's been by far the best first baseman in the AL. He leads all first basemen in OPS. He has been the best hitter on a Rays team that is significantly overperforming. I think it's kind of a shame that he didn't at least become a finalist, especially when You have two other first basemen in his own division that went over him that he's been pretty clearly better than. But of these two finalists between Vlad Guerrero and Paul Goldschmidt, I would definitely have to say it's Vladdy. Over at second base, for the first time since who knows how long, Jose Altuve is not a finalist. It's Gleyber Torres and it's Jackson Holliday. Max, who do you have?
Probably Glaber right now. I mean, with the way the Orioles are playing, I really don't think you can put Jackson Holliday
Yeah, I would agree. It's of
at the
these two,
starting
it'd be
spot.
Gleyber. Of these two, it'd be Gleyber for me. I think it's probably Gleyber when you take into all second basemen. I don't think Jackson Holliday has any real. He's not deserving to be in this spot in my position, in my opinion. Obviously, he's very young. He is a top prospect. It's great. He's having a much better season, and it's great to see. But he's got like a 710 OPS, and I just don't think that's deserving of being an all-star starter. I would have loved to see Brandon Lau from the Rays in here as well. He's been incredible, and he would probably be my choice over Gleyber Torres. But it's great to see Gleyber have a bounce back. He of these two finalists, he is my pick to be the starter at second base. At third base, we got another one that kind of feels like that same Cal Raleigh debate runaway. Jose Ramirez once again, and Alex Bregman, kind of your usual suspects over here in the AL. What do you got, Max?
This one's a little more difficult for me just because I do think Jose Ramirez is having a great season. Especially with the stolen bases, it's actually been pretty impressive. So I am gonna say Jose Ramirez just because year in year again, like he just dominates.
Yeah, my pick would be Jose Ramirez just because, you know, Bregman was playing great. I'll always have a little bit of love in my heart for Alex Bregman. But I think what Jose Ramirez is doing this season, he already has 20 stolen bases. He's gonna notch his fifth straight 2020 campaign. He's insane. Jose Ramirez, my vote, especially with Bregman going down with an injury and only playing like 50-ish games, I think. I just think it's going to be Jose Ramirez, and I think that's pretty deserving. Over at shortstop in the AL is the one I have the biggest issue with, and it's Jacob Wilson and Bobby Witt. The fact that Jeremy Peña is not a finalist here is an absolute shame, considering he has been the best shortstop in baseball. He is tied with Aaron Judge in terms of WAR. I mean, like it's an absolute shame that he's not a finalist. I'm not even going to say between Jacob Wilson and Bobby Witt who I think should be the winner because I don't think either of them should be. It should be Jeremy Peña, and the fact that he's not a finalist is an absolute travesty, considering he is a significantly better defender than Jacob Wilson. He's got better offensive statistics than Jacob Wilson, and Bobby Witt shouldn't be in the conversation between these two. If we're basing it purely on this season, which is what the All-Star is supposed to be, it should be Jeremy Peña. But Max, go ahead and give me who you think between
I have
Jacob Wilson and
Jacob
Bobby Witt
Wilson.
should.
I think Jacob's
Yeah.
obviously having a better season, and I think Bobby Witt's just there because he's Bobby Witt, in my
Yeah, I
opinion.
mean, like, if we're talking entire body of work, entire career, it's Bobby Witt. Bobby Witt is probably a top five player in baseball, and Jacob Wilson is probably the front runner for AL Rookie of the Year right now. But I think it's just a shame that Jeremy Peña isn't getting the love he deserves for having as good of a season as he's having. But moving on to the outfield now for the AL, obviously with Judge being the leading vote getter, there's only two available spots out here in the AL. The four finalists for those two spots are Riley Green, Javi Baez, Mike Trout, and Stephen Kwan. I think for me personally, Riley Green easily gets one of my votes. I think that's pretty easy with the way the season he's having. I think Byron Buxton probably had a shout in here over Mike Trout based off of this season, but it's good to see Trout back in there. He's been pretty great. He would, you know, it'd be great to see him back, but I would say my two winners for this spot would be Riley Green and Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Stephen Kwan and Riley Weird. I will say it is very, very weird to see Javier Páez in the outfield for an outfield selection spot for the All-Star game. I'm not that's like I'm still getting used to the fact that he plays the outfield now.
Yeah, but I mean
Because he
he's
doesn't
done
look
it
great out
very
there all the
well.
time.
He's
Like
done
at
it
first
very
he didn't
well
look
though.
great, and then he's actually started to lock in. You don't see that happen successfully unless it's like him or Tatis.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty incredible. I do want to shout out Stephen Kwan because he's been, pretty consistently for the last couple of years the best left fielder in baseball with, some of the best defense you'll ever see. So that's great to see. And then Riley Green this year has been resurgent. He was the top prospect in baseball for a long time. He came up and struggled a little bit, but he's really found his own. And it'll be, I think he's about as much of a lock as it gets to be, at least that second vote starter here. So that'll be really fun. But then, moving on to the DH, which is kind of an interesting one in the AL this year, but the finalists are Ryan O'Hearn and Ben Rice. Who do you got, Max?
I have Ben Rice on this. I think just overall, you're looking at two teams and one team scoring a lot, and the other team is sitting at the bottom of their division. And I think Ben Rice has been a major factor for that, so I put him over.
Yeah, I would probably go Ryan O'Hearn. He's had a very good year, and he's been, I think, just like in terms of pure statistics, which is really all you need to look at for the DH because all they do is hit, is he would be my starter. I think Rafi Devers before the trade would have had a shout. I think he probably would have been a finalist. And then I think Brent Rooker is having another very good year. I think he'll probably get it. Well, I guess no. It'll probably be Jacob Wilson as the only representative for the A's, but it would have been nice to see Rooker get in there.
Yeah,
But of
he
these
isn't he
two,
leading? I think he's leading right now, DHs and home runs too.
yeah, Brent Rooker is leading all
Percentages.
DHs and home runs. So like, there's, but I, this is a position where it's I don't have any issue with Ben Rice or Ryan O'Hearn being in there. Ben Rice has had a very good year for the Yankees, but I would say Ryan O'Hearn is probably my vote just because. Someone's got to get in for the Orioles, and I think Ryan O'Hearn is very deserving. But moving on over to the National League now, catchers, Will Smith, he's always going to be there as a finalist, and then Carson Kelly for the Cubs is the other finalist. What do you think on that, Max?
Probably Will Smith right now. I am actually really impressed with Carson Kelly though. But I do say Will Smith.
Yeah, I think it's Will Smith. Will Smith is having a great season. Other catchers, I think, who could have been in there, Hunter Goodman for the Rockies. I think he'll probably get in anyways. He's having a very good year. I think is second only to Will Smith in terms of OPS for catchers. And he's actually hitting significantly better away from Coors Field, which is a funny little stat. But I think he'll get in anyways, so I'm not too worried about him not being a starter. Will Smith, I think, pretty easily is the best offensive catcher in baseball. He's always a pleasure to watch. He gets my vote, but Carson Kelly is. It's good to see him get a little bit of recognition because he's been very good for the last couple of years. Moving on to first base, we see our second Dodger in Freddie Freeman, and then we see Pete Alonso. This one's going to be a close one. I think Pete is going to get it this year. Because he's been, arguably the best hitter in baseball this year outside of Judge. So it'll be pretty cool to see him. But what do you got for us, Max, between Freddie Freeman and Pete
I
Alonso?
have Pete Alonso as well. I think he's just been amazing this year and he deserves it. I think it's going to be the finalists end up going to the coaches' decisions, don't they? When it comes down to it.
No, it's still fan voting
Fan
for
voting for it. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean that's the only things I feel like Freddie might win just off that, but I do think Pete Alonso should.
Yes, I think Pete Alonso should get some recognition for the season he's having. Obviously, Freddie is still elite. Freddie's still great, but it'd be nice to see Pete Alonso get his recognition here. Over to second base now, we have Ketel Marte, who is the best second baseman in baseball. And then Tommy Edman, also of the Dodgers. We see our third straight Dodger getting some recognition here. I think it's pretty easily Ketel Marte. He's been incredible. He's the best second baseman in baseball. I don't know if there's a whole lot other else to say.
I mean, it's 100%. Like, Ketel Marte should definitely win it. There's
He's got
no.
17 home runs and he's got an over 1,000 OPS. He's been great. He's fourth in all of baseball in OPS behind Judge Ohtani and Cal Raleigh. Like, you know.
He's been really carrying a D-backs team that has been a little rough this year.
Tommy Edman's been good. Other guys who could have gotten in here, probably Brendan Donovan, who's been very good for the Cardinals, would like to see some of that recognition, but he'll probably get in anyways. It doesn't really matter. No matter who was in this position, Ketel Marte was going to win it. Over third base, we have our fourth Dodger in Max Muncy, and we have Manny Machado, who's always going to be in there. He's going for his seventh All-Star game. I personally would say this is a tough one. I would like to see Max Muncy in there. He's having a very good season since about the end of since like May 2nd, May 3rd. I think he got glasses sometime around then, and he's been incredible. His OPS is like 1,200 over the last 2 months. He's been insane.
It's like a major league thing with Vince Vaughn. Not Vince
Yeah,
Vaughn,
he got the glasses
but
and
he got the glasses and just becomes amazing.
I mean, I feel like with as much as Max Muncy squints, we could have probably been able to tell that he needed glasses for a while. Like all of his head, like every picture he's had on MLB.com, he's always squinting. And I feel like we maybe should have been able to pick up on the fact that he needed glasses, but he got his glasses. He's been incredible over the last like 2.5 months, 2 months-ish. So he would be my vote. But obviously Manny Machado is Manny Machado, so he'll probably win. And I wouldn't have any issue with that.
But I agree. I think it's Max Muncy this year.
And you know, other guy who could have been in there, Eugenio Suarez, who just hit his 300th career home run. He might not still be a Diamondback by the time the All-Star comes around. He definitely won't be a Diamondback by the time the trade deadline comes around. But he's having a very good season. You know, he's been a very good MLB player for a while. It would have been cool to see him get some of that recognition, but I have no problem with either of these two finalists. Over at shortstop, which is where a lot of people have had some big issues, it's Francisco Lindor and it's Mookie Betts. Francisco Lindor, obviously, always up there with the top shortstops in baseball. Mookie Betts is always up there as one of the top players in baseball. But this year, you know, at the time voting closed, he had somewhere around like a 720 OPS, and it's only gone down since then. I love Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is one of my favorite players to watch, to listen, to like hear talk, the way he talks about baseball and how much he enjoys baseball. He just doesn't. He's playing a very good shortstop, you know, after moving there 32, right? Which what he's been able to do, and he's filling a spot that the Dodgers really need. It's very cool to see him transition into the infield, which is kind of the opposite of what you see as guys age, is that usually they move into the outfield, but he's now moved to shortstop. But I think, as I mentioned earlier, Ellie De La Cruz definitely deserved a vote in here. There are probably a couple other shortstops who you could have argued deserved it over Mookie, but I would hope that Francisco Lindor wins this because he definitely deserves it.
I agree. Francisco Lindor felt like he was snubbed last year, and I think, or did he? Who's this? Was it Mookie last year? I believe, right? For shortstop, or was it Trey Turner?
I think it was Trey Turner.
Trey Turner. I do though. I think Francisco Lindor does deserve this 100%.
Francisco Lindor hasn't been an all-star at least since 2021, maybe before that.
Yes, I mean, I feel like this is a long time coming, and he's deserved it many years, but I think this year there's no way to deny him right now.
And Ohtani was the leading vote getter for the NL, so there is no finalist for the DH. But we have three outfield spots available in the NL. The finalists for those three spots are Pete Crow Armstrong, Ronald Acuña Jr., Kyle Tucker, Andy Páez, Juan Soto, and Teoscar Hernandez. For me, Pete Crow Armstrong gets in there pretty easily. He's always been an elite fielder. The question was always, is his bat going to be able to follow it up? And this season, it really has. He's been on another level. And he plays the most incredible defense in center field, bar none. Like, he's insane in center field. I think he pretty easily gets that first spot. I would love to see Kyle Tucker get that second spot. I think he's been incredible. It's great to see him finally getting some of that national recognition. He is one of the best players in baseball. He would be my second vote. And then Juan Soto would get my third. He's, for as much as he's, as much flack as he's gotten over the season, he's been just ever consistent, as good as always. You know, Yankees fans love to pile on him, love to say how much he hates Queens, but he's had a great season, and I think it'd be great to see him in there. Ronald Acuña Jr. also had a great season. Just he was hurt for a lot of it.
Yeah, he's
But
only
he's been great.
played 34 games.
Yeah, he's been great since he came back.
I just don't think you can't be. I don't even think he should be an all-star given how many games he's played.
I would agree. Other guys you could see in there, James Wood for the Nationals, I think definitely would have been deserving of it. But, you know, who do you got in here, and do you have
I had the
anyone else
same.
you'd like to see?
I had Armstrong, I had Tucker, and I had Soto, and then my only point was the Ronald Cunha. Like I don't think he should be even. I know it's all fan voting, so like it makes sense. But it's like if someone plays 34 games, not even half the season so far as of like he won't even play half the games up until the All-Star break. Like I don't think you could be. You know what I mean? Because like oh your stats look great, your average looks great. You also have half the amount of ABs that everyone else has, like you know what I mean? So I think I understand it, and there's always been this idea with the All-Star and when it does the fan voting. But yeah, I think like he's definitely had a great year since coming back, but obviously like not the same player as he was before that second ACL tear. So yeah, I mean I hope he ends up doing great second half, but yeah. Those are my three, the Armstrong, Tucker, and Soto.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I feel like, less this year than usual controversy over the finalists, which is good to see. But you know, whenever you let the fans decide, there's going to be some interesting things. But I don't think there are many finalists that you could really argue with at least being deserving of a shout. But you know, halfway through the season, we're creeping up on the All-Star break, and then the trade deadline's not too far behind that. I've been Barrett Spritzer. Along with Max Spezza, this was your midpoint in the season recap. This has been Nosebleeds, WFUV podcast. It's been great to be here with y'all, and we'll see you next week.